In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. This 19th Sunday after Pentecost, we're presented with the gospel where our Lord gives a parable to the Pharisees, to the Jews. And the Jews are very interested in trapping Christ, and Christ is putting out a parable that is really condemning them. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a marriage feast, and he sent out his servants to invite those that were invited to come. The Israelites, the chosen people of the Old Testament, were the first to be invited. But these refused to come, and they even killed the prophets that went before to announce. And so these people were not worthy. And the king was angry at what they had done to his servants, and he sent his army to go and destroy these people and their city, and to burn their city down. And we see this is exactly what happened to Jerusalem when Rome seized Jerusalem. They surrounded it. The people went crazy within. I don't know if I can use that word. It's not politically correct anymore. They went insane. They were unhealthy mentally. But they began to kill one another, to kill themselves. Rome besieged the city, and even the Roman general said, we did nothing to destroy these people. This is God has done this to them. It is not by military power or strength. These people have been destroyed by the finger of God. But no stone was left upon another. And so we see this parable paralleled in reality and history. And of course, the disciples, the messengers, the servants of the king were sent out into the highways, into the hedges, to invite anyone, everyone, whomever they could see, to bring them into this wedding feast. And there were brought in both good and bad. But then the king comes to visit the guests, to see those at the wedding feast. And he finds there a man without a wedding garment. And this part of the parable really applies to us. We have been invited, whether we were invited first with the chosen people or we were invited later and entered the church later in our life, we were invited. We've entered the church by our baptism. With our baptism, we came to the wedding feast. We have become one with Christ. We have not only become a guest, but we've become the bride of Christ. We've entered the church, who is the bride of Christ. We've become a member of this bride. But it's not enough that we've entered the church. And contrary to what many Protestants believe, it is not enough to believe and be baptized. It's not enough to say, okay, I've been invited, I will enter the church, I will come to the wedding feast. Our Lord is telling us something more is needed. You must have on a wedding garment. And at first reading, especially as a young man, I'm kind of shocked. Well, you just brought them in from the highways and the hedges. These are poor people. They can't afford a fancy garment for their wedding. But the fathers of the church tell us that the wedding garment is provided by the king. The only thing this man had to do was to put it on. But he wouldn't put it on. And I say, all the Catholics who have been invited, they have been baptized, they've entered the church. That is not enough. You must put on the wedding garment. There's more than just faith. I believe it's St. John who tells us faith without works is dead. We need to put on those good works. We need to put on those graces and those virtues. For other fathers of the church and their commentaries tell us that the wedding garment is charity. Charity is love. Charity is the chief of all the virtues. It encompasses all the virtues. The wedding garment that this man did not have on was charity, was grace, was virtue. And you may ask, well, where is he to get this grace and this virtue? In the sacraments. The sacraments that are provided by the King. We have no excuse. We've entered the church, we're sitting at the wedding feast. The King, God, is going to come and look at every one of us. And if he sees us without a wedding garment, he's not going to be pleased. And it will do nothing for us to say, but I believed and I was baptized and I came to the wedding feast. That's not enough. We must put on the wedding garment. Where do we get that? In the sacraments. Baptism is just the first. If we want to grow in grace, if we want to grow in virtue, if we want to grow in charity, we have to put on this wedding garment. We have to first wash ourselves because it's useless to put on a clean garment if we are filthy. Does that make sense, Eliza? You first have to take a bath or a shower and then you put on the clean clothes. Mom's not happy if you're all dirty and you just put on the clean clothes. It's the same with our souls. We can't just come to all the sacraments and receive the sacraments unless we first wash our souls. And our first bath is in baptism. If we get dirty after that, we have to go to confession, the sacrament of penance. And there we wash our souls. And there we receive grace. Not only is our soul washed clean, but we are clothed now with grace. There are tremendous graces attached to each of the sacraments. And with the sacrament of penance, our souls are washed, but yet we're given the wedding garment. Charity enters our hearts once again. We are now in right order. We love God. We love our neighbor as we love ourselves. Things are put back in order. But we don't want to just wear clean garments. We want to increase this grace. Every young lady who goes to a wedding, it's not enough just to put on a nice wedding garment. You have to put on your best, right? You need a nice veil or a hat or shoes or whatever. You need all these things, not just a dress. Where do we get these other graces, these other spiritual clothes that we're supposed to put on? Principally, the virtue is of charity, this virtue of love, comes to us in the Holy Sacrament of the altar, in Holy Communion. And again, a Catholic has no excuse, especially those who are able to come to Mass. The Blessed Sacrament is offered to us. If we stay away from the Blessed Sacrament, if we stay away from confession and penance, we have no one to blame but ourselves. And so we should not be shocked if God comes along and says, what are you doing here? You say, but I was invited. I believed and I was baptized. Where's your wedding garment? It's good that you came, but it's bad that you came this way. And it will be useless for us to say, but I'm poor. Our Lord says, I'm giving them to you free. It won't cost you anything materially to go to confession, to receive our Lord in Holy Communion, to receive our Lord in all the sacraments. It is something very serious for us to put off receiving the sacraments, to ignore the sacraments, for these are the wedding garments. And young couples are worn before they even get married. It is a serious obligation to have your child baptized as soon as is reasonably possible, and even sooner if there is any danger of death. This is serious. You must receive the sacraments in due time. You must prepare yourself, because you don't know when the King is coming. You don't know when our Lord will return, and you must always be ready. Our Lord has given many parables telling us that we must be watching, we must be ready, because we don't know when he's coming. He's going to come like a thief in the night. He's going to come when we least expect it. We must be the good servant, watching and waiting for the Master to return. And so we must not put off that wedding garment any longer. While the time is now, while we have time, while we are alive, we must put on that wedding garment. Not wait, oh, I'll do it before I die, and then I'll get in like the good thief. Well, you like to gamble? Do you want to really gamble with your immortal soul? Maybe God will give you that grace. Maybe he won't. But I can tell you, if you're willing to make that gamble, you don't have charity. You're not wearing a wedding garment. And if you were to die right now, I will say very clearly, the Master will come, the King will come and say, what are you doing in here without a wedding garment? And he will tell the servants, bind him hand and foot, cast him out into the exterior darkness, where there is the weeping and the gnashing of teeth. Cast him into the depths of hell. He doesn't belong here. I tell you, if you're willing to gamble, you're a fool. What we need is to take the sure road, the positive road. We know what God wants of us. We know what it means to be a Catholic. We know the sacraments are available to us. And I think God can't make it any easier for us, especially those of us who were baptized as infants. He brought us into the church. Here you are. He's given us all the sacraments. It really cost us nothing at all. Put on this garment. You have no excuse not to. You have no excuse in the entire world not to be clothed in the virtue of charity, not to be increasing daily in the graces of God, not to become more and more pleasing to God day by day. The feast, the wedding feast, is set out before us. You can have as much as you want. You can receive as many graces as you want. You can return over and over again to these sacraments to grow in grace and virtue, to grow in holiness, and to become more and more pleasing to God. There is no reason why we should not be more holy than we were the day before. Are we better today than we were yesterday? Are we closer to God today than we were yesterday? Is our soul more pleasing to God than it was yesterday? Our faith is not just a one-time deal. I believed and was baptized, 40 years ago. I accepted Jesus as my personal Savior 40 years ago. I'm good. I don't have to worry about anything else. I believe you have to begin worrying now. Are you wearing the wedding garment? Is your soul filled with grace and virtue? It's not enough to believe. Faith without these works is dead. And these works are relatively simple. As I mentioned, it costs us very little, if anything, materially to receive the sacraments. Christ has paid the price. He's given his life so that we might live. Let us not be fools. Let us not wait to be thrown out. But let us begin preparing our souls with the proper wedding garment, so that when the King comes, he will say, "Thank you for coming to my wedding feast. Thank you for honoring me with your presence." And this will be something that will be quite humbling to us, because it is we who should be grateful. It is we who have received the greater gift from this King by being found worthy to be invited, to be found worthy of his consideration. For he has done everything for us, and we have done nothing except really show up and put on the wedding garment that he has provided. He's done everything. And all we have to do is show up, put on the wedding garment, and enjoy the banquet that's presented before us. It couldn't be easier. It couldn't be more inviting. It couldn't be more welcoming. And so I say once again, we have no excuse not to receive the sacraments, not to grow in grace and holiness. This wedding garment is there. Let us just put it on. Benedictio Dei omnipotentis, Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti, descendet super vos et maniat semper. Amen.